Yeah, we're gonna pull the trigger.
Yeah, give an update on the Red Sox game.
Oh, this got to be rained out, I would assume.
No, no, they're playing in Minneapolis.
Ah, there you go.
They were losing. Not sure.
Alas. All right, I think we'll begin at 3:02. I know we've got a bunch more coming in. But anyway, thank you all for now attending our final annual conference Zoom session. We've had, hope you enjoyed the other two. We talked about retention and we talked about data and technology. So I think it was quite interesting, a lot of fun. My name is Reese Brown. I'm the executive director of KISSA. I'd like to recognize some of our board members who are on the call. We've got Richard Hodges from White Pine Touring and 10 Week Winter in Utah. Richard also doubles as our board chair. We've got Nate Harvey from Great Glen Trails in New Hampshire. I know he's here somewhere. Mike Hussey from Reichert Nordic Center in Vermont. And we've got Jonathan Weisel from Nordic Group International in Montana. So they're all here. Feel free to reach out to them. All their contact is on the website or me at any point. As I said, I hope you've enjoyed the past two sessions. I think we've had some really good discussion and talked about some really important issues facing our industry right now. And today will be equally as stimulating, I hope. Please remember our silent auction. I will put that link in the chat section when I can. But that's there. There's some great items. Thank you, Robert, for that Salomon bag that just hit today. There's only one bid on it, so definitely hit it. And there's some great Alpina skis. Nordic Group International has a session there, and there's many other items. So bid high and bid often. It's membership renewal time. I'm going to turn this to Richard to say something about your membership renewal.
Oh, thanks, Reese. And thank you. I want to give a huge thanks to Reese, but everyone for participating in this kind of first and hopefully last virtual annual meeting. I think we're really doing some good things with KISSA right now, and I'd encourage all of you to renew or join early this year. Take advantage of kind of the momentum that we've been building over the last year in providing a really high quality forum for the industry to really take advantage of and learn from each other in regards to not only dealing with COVID, but moving forward and keeping the industry healthy and strong. So I really appreciate everyone's efforts and everyone's participation. And by all means, please get to that silent auction page. But mostly thanks to Reese for helping organize this controlled chaos.
It's always fun. Thank you, Richard. And thanks to those who have renewed. We're actually trending above our, actually the best we've been for the last couple of years. So appreciate that. Makes my job easier because I don't have to chase people down. So I thank you very much. All right. Today, our topic is supply chain and how it will affect participation. The format of the call is a panel discussion, but we've also, we'd like to avoid using the chat as much as possible and use the raise hand function. Love to get that dialogue going back and get some live questions asked as opposed to just putting them in the chat. Certainly, if you just have comments, throw them in the chat. But any questions, raise your hand. And that is that little smiling face down at the bottom in your taskbar there. And that should get, hopefully I will notice you. I'm sure I will. And this call should run just probably a little over an hour, and then we'll have some time for Q&A, and definitely we can stay on for anyone who's got more to say. We are planning to return to in-person meetings next year, hopefully starting in the fall with our Eastern Conference. Stay tuned for details there. Excuse me, we are following what the CDC is recommending, and we'll see as we get a little closer, but that is the plan. As Nate said yesterday, our conferences are a great opportunity to get together face to face and share ideas beyond what's on the agenda and share a meal for our annual. We always pick a spot that still has snow in early April. So that's great fun. And of course, we drink a beer or two as needed. So it's a good time, and we hope to get back there. All right. With that, allow me to introduce our panel for today. We have Ed Ray from NPD. He's based out of Rhode Island. I think it's raining there also today. Robert Lazzaroni from Solomon Sports in Utah. Andrew Gerlach, Endurance Enterprises. They're importers of start poles and wax, Blizz eyewear, and many more items. He's based out of Madison. And then we have Marcy Dye from Sylvan Peak Mountain Shop in Montana, and Nick Mahood from Woodstock Nordic Center. I'm going to share my screen, so give me just a moment to get that organized here. And hopefully you can see my annual conference. Does everyone see that piece? Does anyone see that piece? Yes, I'm assuming you can see that. Okay, good.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. So we're talking about supply chain, and I wanted to just give a kind of a standard definition that I'll read about supply chain and what it truly is. And this definition says the supply chain involves a series of steps involved to get a product or service to the customer. The steps include moving and transforming raw materials into finished products, transporting those products, and distributing them to the end user. Pretty simplistic. I think we all understand that. I also want to point out this piece in Outside Business Journal talking about some of the other elements that impact the supply chain. And I think we need to look beyond just our suppliers as a potential issue in the supply chain, and especially spring or winter, we saw what happened in the Suez Canal. So there's a lot of other things that affect the supply chain. So just something to keep in mind as you are trying to figure out where your orders are. And, there's a lot that goes into it. So I just wanted to throw that out. All right. I'm going to turn this over to Ed Ray from Ed Ray from NPD. A little background on Ed from my point, and then he can tell you more and what NPD is. NPD provides expert industry analysis and advisory services to help retailers and manufacturers identify market trends to make smarter business decisions. Ed has over 20 years of experience working with suppliers, retailers, and reps in the snow sports industry, and many more years in the summer markets. So Ed, I'll turn it over to you. You can tell us anything more about you, and let me know when you want me to switch the slide.
Okay. Well, Reese, first of all, I want to thank you and your group for inviting me in here to do this presentation. I've met with some of you in the past. I was at the North Star event. For those that were there, it was my first and only experience doing biathlon, and I tell that story many, many times. It was absolutely fantastic going from sea level to 9,000 feet in about 15 hours was quite the event, but it was such a blast.
And just let me just remind people, because that I had forgotten about that event, but that was an annual meeting we had probably close to 10 years ago up at North Star. So that's what Ed is referring to. It was great fun.
Yeah. But I've also had the opportunity to present to Devil's Thumb during the SIA winter demo. And I think I did one other presentation at Waterville one year as well. So it's great to be back and see this group. My background is I worked for SIA for 16 years as their Eastern Regional Manager. And it was during this time that I got introduced to a company called Leisure Trends, and a gentleman named Jim Spring, Scott Jaeger, and a woman named Julia Day. That really taught me a lot about market research, because that was part of my responsibility with SIA, was selling market research. And what I learned really quickly was the value that data can bring to a retailer, to a brand, to a rep, to have more timely, informative, and in-depth conversations with one another about the marketplace, trends, and things like that. So going into this, a little bit about NPD real quickly is that we're a big market research firm. We've been doing this since 1966. We have offices in 19 countries around the world, 1,600 employees. They're not all dedicated to the snow sports arena, obviously, but we track everything from Mr. Coffee machines to car tires, computers, watches, fashion, beauty, you name it, we are tracking it. On the sports division, we track four categories specifically: outdoor, snow sports, cycling, and running. And so what I'm going to talk to you about today is specifically the snow data and Nordic. And one of the things that you can switch, Reese. One of the things that we're really excited about is just seeing the growth that Nordic has had this year. And in a minute, I'm going to show you a slide or two about the tremendous growth that we've seen. And in the top 10 categories of equipment, in terms of percentage growth, Nordic had all four items were in there: skis, boots, bindings, and poles all made the cut. And that's really something to say. And we'll look at that in a little bit. But one of the interesting things that's happened through COVID is that we've seen consumers really adapt to increases in pricing, and without a lot of hesitation. And some of it's been due to supply and demand, but the average prices of all of our products have been rising this year, which means retailers made more margin, brands discounted less. So there was a consumer changing in their psyche. The other thing is that we saw a huge, huge increase across all product categories of the amount of products being purchased online, be it food delivery, be it household goods, Mr. Coffee machines again, bread makers were a big winner last spring. But the growth in internet sales across all channels and products was 21% this year, which is an enormous, enormous increase to have that kind of growth that was really forecasted to happen over a 3 to 5 year period. But to have that happen in a 9 to 12 month time period is just astronomical growth. And again, many of the supply chain has got caught behind in this and not been able to keep up with things from the postal service with late deliveries and other significant changes. But the most exciting thing about what's happened for me personally and what I've seen is the huge number of new people coming into our sports. The growth that we saw in outdoor fitness equipment in this category has brought entirely new people into this arena. And we have an opportunity now like we've never had before to embrace these people and get them on our equipment and make them lifelong customers. And it's really important that you stay engaged with them and keep track of them, because their buying habits are different. They're new. They're different from what we've seen in the past from our typical consumers, but they're here and they're spending a lot of money with us. You can switch, Reese.
Trying.
So basically what's happened this year, tracking sales from August through January, we're looking at the market last year, this year is down 2% in dollars sold and 3% in units. However, we really anticipate that with the next data sets come out, and especially the March data, that we're going to see these turn to plus signs. Again, supply, demand change things. And with the loss of half the month of March last year, there obviously will be a growth over month-to-month comparison. But the comps year-to-year should be up significantly, is what we're anticipating to see when the next data sets roll out. So good year. We're on track for some very good things. Okay, you can switch.
Ed, what does this data represent? Is it all of snow sports or all of outdoor?
This is all of snow sports.
All of snow sports. Okay. So cross country would have helped drag this up, but we can't pick that out here.
No, you can't. It's not. It's all just blended into here.
Got it. Thank you.
Ooh, this didn't come out great. Sorry about this one. Just let me share my screen on this one.
That's going to be challenging, but let me see what I can do. So share. Hold on. All right, you should be able to.
Come on.
I love that technology.
Yeah, when it doesn't work. Okay, let's go back to your screen, Reese. And I'll just read off of it.
Seeing top 10 specialty growth subcategories screen, is that?
No, I want to go to the second one, the blue circles. There we go. So NPD tracks sales of products in three different channels of distribution. We have Snow Chain, which is stores like REI, Dick's Sporting Goods, Big Five, and they make up 43% of the total sales in the snow sports category. And a lot of their products are all based on soft goods. There are no hard goods in the top five categories at all. 37% of the business is done by Snow Specialty, and that is almost exclusively hard goods. And Nordic was one of the biggest growth areas of this year. On the Snow e-commerce, represents 20% of the total sales. And in that channel, it's a balance of hard goods, soft goods, and accessories for the top five categories. Now, the story within the story here, you can't see, but the bottom number five in each of these categories is the same product. It was snow pants. And there was a joke going around many ski shops this year that was due to the COVID-15 with people spending more time at home. You know, everyone did buy more fitness equipment, but when they put their ski pants on this year, they didn't quite fit like they did in the past. So it was interesting to see one item across all of these channels of distribution being the leading one. But again, don't be too alarmed about that 43% on Snow Chain, because a lot of that is made up of soft goods in particular. Fleece makes a big portion of that, as does winter jackets and apparel. So let's jump to the next slide. And again, this is what is really interesting. When you look at the top 10 growth in the subcategories, seeing how much that Nordic grew this year in all four was just absolutely outstanding. And this bodes well for the long-term health of the industry. I think we're going to see this continue. There's a lot of people who this year, as you know, didn't participate. They didn't initiate their season passes, but they did buy Nordic equipment. They still wanted to be outdoors and participate, but they did it in a different manner. One of the interesting things out of this, again, is the Alpine touring boot. This was a tremendous growth with 167%. It was the single biggest growth area in the entire snow sports industry. And not surprising, right behind that, having backcountry accessories, which goes right along with that. So with that, one of the things I just want to point out to you, that everybody on this call, is that as a retailer, you can have access to the data. All this data comes in from retailers that report their sales into NPD. And in return, we give them back these aggregated reports. There's no charge for this. So if you'd like some information on that, we can get in touch with Reese, and he can get us together. So Reese, I'm going to turn this back over to you.
All right. Thanks very much, Ed. And it's interesting looking at the cross-country bindings, poles, boots, and skis all in that 50 to 65% increase. And this is, looking at Alpine Touring, this does not show dollars. So we don't know. It does not represent what the dollars are in that category, just the percent up over last year's sales. So interesting to see 50% increase is pretty significant. And what's interesting to me is, were we actually able to bring in 50% more equipment this year than last year? I might have to ask Robert that. I'm going to unshare my screen. All right, Ed, thank you very much. That was great. Now I want to do a bit of a deep dive into what happened this past season and hear about it from the supplier as well as the retailer perspective. I want to start with Robert. You're here somewhere. Oh, there you are. Nice to see you. Thank you for attending. And first, I do want to remind everyone that that what we saw this year in terms of product demand was unprecedented for cross country, at least in the last 20 to 30 years. We knew early that this was going to happen. We just didn't know the parameters. We didn't know what COVID was going to bring. We didn't know. There was so much we didn't know. So this conversation is not meant to throw anyone under the bus. I know everyone did the best they could to get gear. I know in talking to the suppliers, all summer and winter long. They were frantically on the phone trying to get additional gear from Europe and or anywhere else. So I just want to throw that out there. So anyway, Robert, you and I had many conversations really beginning around April or May of last year. You know, as we were beginning to see what was happening in hiking and biking, and we were discussing the coronavirus, which was still quite new at that point, and we didn't know where that was going. Can you take us back to your thought process back then and kind of over the summer about what you were thinking as a supplier, and not necessarily specific to Salomon, but just as that supplier, and how, you know, and we kept talking through, okay, is there going to be huge demand? Are we going to be able to ski, or are people just scared of everything? So what was your thought process over the summer? And I'm going to go through kind of all of our panelists with this similar question.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Reese, and hi, everybody. Like Richard said, we got 10 inches of snow yesterday, and winter goes on in Park City. So just to remind everybody also in the timing of where we place the order. So normally, you know, we come to you guys, or our reps come to you sometime in January, and we try to get the orders in February. And then we put all in the production, and then we deliver you sometime in September, October. So last year, at the end of the winter, when we were looking for pre-season order sometime in March, Europe had a terrible snow year. So the numbers in Europe were very much down. We came out of a good winter in the US. So we, specifically to Salomon, we were up. And then pandemic came. And then once we saw what happened with cycling sometime in May, June, I said, oh, should we need to react now? But again, May, June is way too late to adjust the production because we just booked, like I say, a few months earlier. So what was very interesting then was September. When September hit, the chains, the REI, the Shields, they came to us following their summer sales with camping and cycling. I said, okay, I need more Nordic stuff. So what we were planning to have reorder capacity for our specialty or for you guys was burned down by the chance sometime already in September, very early. And then this is when we started to make the calls to Europe. I need more stuff. I need more stuff. So we stole it from Scandinavia, from whatever, because we are the first one. And we were able to bring more stuff sometime in November, December, and also in January. But what you have seen and the numbers that Ed showed us, all including us, all the brands, we were completely sold out already in late January. So the demand was much, much higher than what we anticipated. So then we came into the next cycle, next cycle, which is, you know, fall 21 delivery. And we have been telling the guys, you know, okay, it's going to be crazy again. It's not a one-year deal. Produce, produce, produce. But then on top of that, Europe woke up. They had a good snow year, and then the demand there went crazy. And then on top of that, the biggest ski factory in Ukraine burned down in November. That completely shifted around all of the supply for Nordic product. So another way, it's a perfect storm against, what can I say, against us. Huge demand and reduced capacity create what you heard from all of the suppliers, that first time for me in my 27 years in a business, first time for many people within Amer Sport in 35 plus years in business, we needed to shut down the Nordic business. We did it April 1, that we at max capacity, we cannot take new orders. And the other big brands did the same couple of weeks prior to us. Again, unprecedented. Never done that. Go back to the reps and say, guys, sorry, stop selling. We cannot produce anymore.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Robert. Let's go to Andrew now. And I don't see you. Oh, there you are. Andrew, on your, you know, kind of by late spring, early summer, what were your thoughts on what demand was going to be like, and how were you adjusting your business accordingly?
We saw the same things as Robert. Our number one product, Blizz Eyewear, was selling like crazy. to the cycling world, and we had unprecedented sales there. We only hoped it would continue to the winter, and we saw it coming. We are a smaller player, and we don't sell to REI and Shield, so we only sell our Starkwax, Blizz, Sweenor, other brands to sports specialty, and we placed our orders already. But in the wax biz, you can in the wax biz we can get goods because it's made in the factory quickly. Poles, at one point we ran out, but we were able to get more poles. The problem was we had a lot of poles throughout the winter from start, but by not having skis and boots to deliver to dealers or touring centers, no one needed just few people needed just poles if they didn't have skis and boots to it. So demand was up. Racing, we do a lot of race business, and that was definitely down a little, but the demand at the entry level touring level was unprecedented. And the new skiers coming from Alpine with different price points and other needs was what we kept hearing from people. So we wanted to offer to be more of a one-stop shop, and rather than just an eyewear shop and a wax shop or a distributor, we had been looking now to expand our offerings. So hearing from Robert and other of the main players in the sport that they've reached their capacity, we're looking to add other brands to fill in this niche in the hard goods business as well. The biggest thing also was not only was the supply chain crimped from the manufacturing side, the cost of transport of getting products from Europe to America, the shipping costs have gone up fivefold. So even if product was available, now the cost of getting it to the States has increased about fivefold. So that is something that needs to be calculated in everything as well.
Andrew, midwinter we had a conversation about poles, and I know there was. I think the pole market's a little different than skis, boots, and bindings. Did you, is that true? Like, how was your supply over the course of the winter? And was that something unique to ski poles?
We knew there was a demand for poles. We got more poles in. But I had numerous dealers tell me, if you had a boot and a ski to go with that pole, I'd buy it. But I just don't need poles because I'm out of skis and boots. So the whole package concept is necessary with the more entry level new people to the sport. They need all sets, and for years we've been a pole supplier for people upgrading or moving in. But yeah, without having a full package, we still have poles. We weren't able to move all our poles because we didn't have skis and boots.
And we did hear that frequently. That was an issue. You had part of a set, but not enough. Great, thank you. I'd like to move to Marcy now from Sylvan Peak. And Marcy, you're more of a full service shop there that also carries cross country equipment. What were the signs that you were seeing early as a retailer? Across everything, and how did that adjust your thoughts as we were approaching winter? And Marcy, you might have to unmute.
There I'm coming. Computer's being slow. We are also getting a good snowstorm here today, so it's affecting our internet quite a bit. So yeah, winter doesn't end.
No.
Doesn't ever end. I'm sorry. What was the question? I was working on my computer.
Being a full service shop, you obviously were on the front lines of seeing what was happening in the spring for some of the spring product. What were you hearing from your customers as well as your suppliers early on, and how did you adjust your model as your normal business model as you were coming into winter?
So, kind of early on last spring, I think all of us did a little bit of a panic and didn't know what we were going to sell, didn't know how the summer was going to go. And then all of a sudden, the outdoor industry opened up, and we were incredibly busy all summer. We started selling ski packages of what we had in inventory left over from the previous year. We started selling ski packages in July and October, or July and August. People were really that interested in, like, we're going to cross country ski this year. So the interest, once we started seeing what are the level of the outdoor industry was in the bike industry. We don't do bikes here, but we do backpacks and hiking and paddle sports. So that's where our kind of idea was coming from. Sorry, my internet's sketchy. So rolling into fall, we were definitely making sure all of those preseason orders were going to get here. And we knew we were going to sell skis. And we knew we were going to sell snowshoes. And it was a matter of just basically getting the supply. And the suppliers did really well. We're pretty tiny. We're not connected with a buying group. We're not connected corporately. So we get our own shipments on our own, and we set our own delivery dates and everything. So we were able to get most of our orders by, say, end of October. Obviously, when we went to the dealer B2B sites, or if we talked to Andy, if we talked to whoever in, you know, December, and they're like, nope, sorry, we're out of that. And you could see all the little red zeros all the way down all the, you know, availability sites. And we've been around 30 years and been selling skis for that amount of time. It definitely reworked our sales people to rework their mind. A lot of it was, hey, take these two pairs of demo skis, go try them, come back, tell me which ones you like, and you can buy those. And to, here's a ski package, you better buy it today because it might not be here tomorrow, type of idea. So it really reworked. We had to think about how we were selling as all with what we had on the wall.
When did you first start placing reorders last year? I mean, seeing what was happening, did that kind of push that date earlier?
It did. We started looking at what was coming in on preseasons and hopping on it in September and adding ASAPs or adding to the preseason or adding to it, knowing that we were going to get bombarded.
Right, right. And you referenced that early season, I know, in a conversation that Kelly, our database or data person, and I was having with REI, they were saying that their sales in August were up 300% on, you know, that entry level package. And that was their indication that there was going to be some significant shortages because they don't sell product that early on a normal year. So that was really,
yeah, that was new to us too. We don't normally start selling skis till ski, you know, people wait for the ski swaps. They don't buy anything at the ski swap because they can't find it. So then they come and they buy new, which is, you know, normally like a November-ish time of a timeline without ski swaps this year. And maybe without, with just that interest, people coming off their bikes wanting to get on skis. There was definitely an earlier interest for sure. And I think there will be this year too.
Yeah, as Richard Hodges from White Pine said earlier this year, it's like normally you need snow to sell season passes and skis, and that model was shattered this year with people just buying equipment early. So and season passes.
Exactly. We had no snow through middle of December through January. We were kind of in a little no snow pocket. So we were hiking, we were doing everything else. We were still selling ski packages like crazy. And so it was really hard to say, sure, you can buy the ski package, but please don't use it because you don't want to go wreck your brand new skis.
We are seeing roller ski orders were good last summer, but nothing spectacular. But roller skis, our pre-orders for Sweeno Rollers, our roller ski business, is increased substantially. And, you know, it begs the question again, you know, traditionally in America, roller skis are used by the junior clubs and top racers, and the so-called master skier or weekend warrior goes to bike and run in the summer. But we're seeing a much increased demand for roller skiing already. And so it's, we're wondering, and a few of our dealers are wondering where this is coming from, because it's, we wouldn't think that new cross-country skiers who just got into it would be going to roller skiing, but we're seeing unprecedented demand there as well. So that's, yeah, we weren't expecting that, and we're glad to see it, but that's coming too.
Andrew, have you identified who that customer is? I mean, is it just a greater number of juniors, or is it people that maybe couldn't buy a bike this year or last year and are looking for something?
It's not juniors that we, that's the same. It is skiers who are now thinking of roller skiing rather than biking or running. And yes, we just had a few shops reach out and say, hey, we're getting this demand for roller skis we never had before. So yes, it is the master skier, the perhaps new master skier. We haven't quite identified, but all are, and we don't, yeah, it's we're excited, it's good, but it was unexpected because we wouldn't expect to ship. We've had a few shops who didn't place enough bike orders and know that they're going to run out of bikes early, looking for new products to lead their customers in. So we sold more Nordic walking poles than we have in a decade already this summer, because shop in Duluth didn't do their preseason ordering for bikes. We'll run out of, know they're going to run out of bikes again. So they said, oh, we need different sports to push. So Nordic walking, roller skiing, they're pushing because they know they're going to run out of bikes.
We're also seeing that in rollerblading, unprecedented demand, at least recently unprecedented for demands for rollerblades and inlines from K2. Richard, you have your hand up?
The roller skiing thing is fascinating. We've seen some customer requests coming in for that too, and they're new people. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's not kind of the usual suspects looking to buy new wheels and things like that. So, but another question that I had for the suppliers, one of the things that happened last year with the huge increase in garage gear, as kind of new supplies drained out and people were going to classified ads and neighbors and stuff and finding 20, 30 year old gear, one of the pinch points we ran into was spare parts. And I was wondering if there were, what the outlook for spare parts was going to be for tips and grips and odds and ends, binding pieces, things like that. I mean, luckily we had good supply and we ended up selling a lot of stuff to people all over the country because, for instance, we had made a big order of Salomon Click grips. And it turned out by the end of the year that we were the only people that had any left.
Disappearing. Richard, can I just say, can we delay answer to that? Because our next round of questions is going to be on this coming year. So let's delay that till then. Roger, you have your hand up.
Yeah. So I guess I wanted to reiterate, Robert talked about if you haven't already placed your orders, does that mean you will not be able to order? Does that mean there won't be any reorders if you haven't already ordered? That's the elephant.
And let's address that in the next session also, because both of those speak to what's coming in the next year. I want to go to Nick Mahood from Woodstock Touring. Nick, you have a shop that is not open in the summer, and generally you share space with a golf course. So generally you have to wait for the golf course to get off the links before you can get on. What did you see? You and I actually spoke a lot this summer also. When did you start to see that demand, early on, and how did that kind of affect your thoughts about what the coming year was going to be like?
Sure. Thanks, Reese. I put in a slightly larger than normal order last spring, and then being involved in our outdoor sporting arm of our resort, definitely saw the huge demand for mountain bike rentals and hiking and et cetera. And so upped orders in the early fall. And then you know, we don't open our shop, like Reese said, until golf is done. So early on in November. I mean, right off the bat, we had people coming in and purchasing gear. And we were, you know, sales were steady throughout the winter until we started to run out of stuff. Is that your question?
No, that's perfect. And you also ran into problems where you had 2 out of 3 parts of packages. You had buyers that were looking to purchase, but you couldn't fulfill that final piece. And I think even Richard said that that you had people, and Ed mentioned this about cycling to me over the summer, that you had people coming in. It's like, do you have this size? Not, do you have this model and brand? It's like, can you fulfill this size? Because I'll buy whatever it is as long as it fits. And that was kind of an interesting change. Let's go back to Robert now and look at those questions that Richard and Roger asked. And I want to kind of look at, where are we now? And, you know, the pre-order season is done. We're into April. You alluded to it when you were talking earlier that on April 1, you had to stop selling. What is this coming year going to look like, you know, in terms of the deliveries and then the potential for reorders or ASAP orders as we get into it?
So early March, even late February, we heard from Canada first that some other brands already needed to stop. So we were happy still to sell in March. And then we know, obviously, we discussed with Europe pretty much every day and then look at the order book. And when we made the call April 1 to stop, the armor brands, so Atomic and Salomon, pre-season versus last year, we were up 300%, 3 times. So no, it's not that we have dozens of molds and hundreds of people just waiting there to jump into building Nordic stuff. So we reach max capacity. So from us, for both Atomic and Salomon, we do not take any more precision order and there will be no reorder capacity. So we will not be able to deliver any extra new stuff in 2021. We are working now to secure some quantity for Q1, so January, February. Hopefully, I will get some product to arrive here late December that we can ship to you guys early January. But it's still a hope. I think it's going to work, but nothing for 21. And what I heard from the other brands, at least the big players, it's the same thing. So no more pre-season, and there will be no reorder. For the smaller brand, might be a different story.
And we'll go there just in a second. Oh.
Yeah, and then what we are starting to think now, it's 22 the following year. So basically we ramp up at, you know, working 7 days a week, 24/7, and just produce to be ready for 22.
Were you guys able to shift production capabilities from like Alpine over to cross country, or does that not work at all?
So before I answer this one, just to add to my previous comments, all the orders that have been in the system by March 31st, we feel very confident we will deliver and we will deliver on time. So that's the good news. To answer your question, Reese, it's tricky because, you know, our biggest factory is in Altenmark, which is a share factory between Salomon and Atomic, Alpine, Snowboard and Cross Country. Alpine numbers are not good worldwide. You know, some of the Alpine resorts, especially in France, did not open this winter. So the business is not good at all. So we have to stop the factories for a while. And unfortunately, when you let some people go for a few weeks, even if the Nordic numbers are up, it does not compensate the fact that Alpine is down. So we were also suffering by the fact that Alpine is not doing very well. But our supply team worked crazy hard we were planning to make a certain number of boots and skis a year. The last 2 months, they nearly doubled that quantity. So that was no good reaction from them. But again, nobody was expecting that numbers.
To go to Richard's question about pieces and parts, how are you set there?
So one thing that I got caught by the last 2 years was the lack of binding. know, we go more and more on pre-mounted skis, especially for this coming winter. So when you guys order PM pre-mounted, the binding come with the skis. It was not the case last year. And we go by historical data and it's okay. But we sold much more bindings than planned. I don't know what happened. And in terms of parts, we have no problem to build parts. But again, we go by historical data. So I will buy a little bit more this year. But again, if the demand triple, I will not have enough parts. That's for sure. And one thing to add also on one of the slides you showed before about the container disruption worldwide, you know, the container are more in a place where they should not be and less in other places. The whole industrial network is very disrupted this year. So it's very difficult to get steel and plastic.
Right.
And, you know, cross country is not the number one industry for steel. Car industry go before. So, so far, so good. But again, it's very difficult to get all the raw material we need to make bindings or even outsoles.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you, Robert. on to Andrew. I guess the same question, you know, what is next year going to look like? How are you positioned to fulfill, you know, those orders coming in?
Yeah. So to try to meet this demand, we are adding new brands to our business. My business doing business now is enjoywinter.com. We started as Blizz Eyewear, then we were Blizz and Start Wax and Poles, then Blizz Start Swinor. Now for the coming, just for this summer, we will be importing Spine ski boots from Russia. We're starting with a roller ski boot first. And then if the demand is exceeding supply, as it appears to be, we will be looking to import Spine's complete ski boot line this winter. We are working on the final details of that now. Spine's been making boots in Russia from other brands for a while and started making boots under their own brand recently, and we're pleased to be able to bring them in. We started with the roller ski boot because there's a undersupply of those. And the boots look beautiful and the company is very progressive and easy to work with. So we'll be doing that. And then we're also looking for, we'll be adding a Russian ski brand for touring and recreational skis as well. And we're going directly to the factories and the brands and not a brand that is made by other factories. So Spine controls their boot factories. So we're working with them and we're talking to a couple Russian ski factories to import stuff potentially. It'll be small in scale. We're not, I'm a distributor. I'm not a brand like Salomon, but we are adding brands that are specialists in one or two things and working directly with the factories. So we hope to be able to fill your reorder needs when your main brands aren't able to. For years, we've been trying to expand in other things, but so much business goes to the big players, it's very difficult to compete and keep all these things going as a smaller player that we're steadily growing. So that's, you know, we're adding brands. We hope to be able to deliver you guys or offer you a service, a one-stop shop for eyewear, wax, skis, boots, bindings, roller skis, and expertise. And that's at Enjoy Winter. And, but it will be, you know, to our scale and not to the REI, Shields, et cetera scale. So, but it'll be ski specific product made by users of it at factories that own much of their supply line. The good thing about doing some business with Russia is Russia imports more than it exports. So shipping is still expensive, but I can find readily containers leaving Russia and trying to fill it with our goods. So that's our scoop. Look for us when you can't find it elsewhere. We had poles all winter. We had straps all winter. We had grips all winter. We have much of everything.
So please look to the smaller players when the big guys can't get you what you need.
Okay, great. Thanks. I see we have a couple questions. I just want to get to the get the retailer perspective, and then we'll get to those questions. Marcy, so from that retailer perspective, were you able to get your orders in for next year in a timely fashion? Do you feel confident that you will be getting them? And what will you do, hearing from Robert and probably your other suppliers, that the order you have is pretty, the order you have placed is pretty much it until Q1 next year?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we were working with our sales reps really well, and they didn't come out right and say it, but they definitely alluded to it of, you need to write a preseason order that you think you're going to sell all year. Don't rely on reorders. And so we took that very much to heart. And when we were writing preseasons, we wrote them back in February, of, we definitely took what we sold and we added quite a bit to it. We also got with our local ski program, our race program, and our kids program. And we said, okay, you guys can't wait until November to look at equipment. Your equipment needs need to come into me now, and let's get them on our preseason order, so that those programs were able to have their equipment in this fall as well. So essentially, when you're looking at our preseasons, they're all triple, almost quadruple of what they've been in previous years.
Awesome. And Nick,
Reese, just to add on this one, I think there is a switch now. Everybody understood that we switched from normally 70% preseason to 30% reorder. I think this year it probably switched 90% preseason, and then we might lose some few percentage there because there will be no reorder. But I think everybody hopefully will get what they need for the entire year.
Right, right. So Nick, kind of same question to you, you know, from your perspective, were you able to get those orders in? And do you feel confident that what you've got to Robert's point, you know, that instead of 70-30, it sounds like it's 100-0 now.
Right.
Do you feel comfortable with what you've got coming in?
I guess I would say I hope so. I would say we probably double to triple normal preseason orders as well. I think that we're in good shape. I mean, I would echo the same thing Marcy said. Our reps did a great job working with us to make sure we were aware and that we were ready, and realized that we probably aren't going to be able to get anything else, or not much, you know, once we get into the season. So I feel like we're in a good spot.
Yep. Okay. Great. All right. We've got, looks like two questions. Roger, I don't know if your hand is up a second time or if it never went down. But Charlie, we'll go to you. What's your question?
So you mentioned, Robert, that the Fisher factory burned down in November in Ukraine. My question is two part. What brands are manufactured there? And is that factory up and running yet?
So it was the biggest Nordic ski factory in the world that burned down. As far as I know, there are two brands impacted, Fisher, obviously, and Rossignol. So Rossignol were able to move some quantity out of Ukraine and move them some to Artes, Spain, and some to China. And then Fisher is Austrian, Atomic is Austrian. And I guess the politics got involved, and they asked for some support. And so the factory in Austria, the Amersport factory, agreed to produce some skis for Fisher for this year to help them a little bit to go through. The second part of your question, what we heard is that the factory burn will impact 21 entire year, and most probably 22 as well. It is not up and running for sure. So problem we see now might happen again in 22.
Thank you.
Awesome. We do have a question from Nate. Nate, do you want to ask your question in as a live person?
I'm just wondering, I'm trying to ID the users and with a major growth of 200%, Robert or Andy or anybody on the supplier chain, have you seen more warranty come in this spring to follow more sales?
Answer is no, no from our side, no.
Yeah, and it sounds like Andy, not.
Yeah, no warranty issues either.
So let's turn to, as we approach 4 o'clock, let's turn to really to Nancy's question, Nancy Long's question. What should the consumer do to ensure they can purchase new gear? And really, I guess I turn that to the retailer. It's like, what can you do to manage your customers' expectations, knowing that what you've got is what you've got? Those that come in and they say, you know what, I'd like this in a different size. Can you order it for me? You know, they, that's kind of been their MO. I know there's always that person out there. You know, Marcy, how are you structuring your sales staff in your business going forward to, you know, to manage that expectation of the customer?
It's definitely a switch. It's definitely trying to retrain our old retail minds for sure. But we're going to definitely, watching the sales from last year, we're going to definitely start our ski advertising and our marketing for skiing, for Nordic skiing, quite a bit earlier. And, you know, maybe even in August or September, start saying, hey, you interested in Nordic gear? Get, you know, maybe a little nicer, but get your butts in here now and buy them before they're gone, type of a marketing campaign. But it's definitely going to be a push to make sure that the consumer knows that that they need to get in early and get it going and get it bought, essentially, if they want a whole package. We ended up at the end of the year, like everybody else did, of a pair of poles here and a pair of skis there and a pair of boots there. And luckily we're able to network with some area stores. I mean, I call them area stores because we're pretty rural and our closest store is 60 miles away. So we definitely give them a call and say, hey, do you have this size and boot? Because I have the ski. I'm sending the customer your way. And so we were able to work with different stores, which was really, really good. And hopefully we'll be able to do that again this next year.
Nick, I'm going to throw the same question to you. I also want to add, not only how are you going to manage that expectation, but, well, yeah, let's start with that. How are you managing that expectation? Are you doing any pre-sales or, you know, people are putting a hold on, you know, X coming in for next year? Is that something that you've considered?
So we did basically the same thing. We reached out to, one of our biggest, not this year, perhaps, but in previous years, a lot of our sales goes to the local ski club. So I reached out to them to make sure that they were aware, like, we wouldn't be able to do a team night in the fall, and they needed to let me know what they need now. I got some response from that. I think there'll still be some people that are going to be shocked in the fall. I think the other thing though with that is, like, we're pretty confident in what, like, our categories that sell really well are, entry level touring gear and skate gear. So I ordered very heavily in those categories, and hopefully that will be sufficient.
What about Nick? You also, if we look at kind of the repair market, I heard from you and many others that you saw 3 pins come in looking to upgrade the bindings and all of that. I've got to assume that is going to continue into next year, especially if the new product isn't available. Is that a way, again, to manage those expectations, to kind of shift those people? It's like, look, we don't have that now. You can pre-order it for next year, perhaps, but here's what we can do right now to take what you've got and make it as usable as possible.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely did that a lot this year. Somebody would come in with a pair of boots that the sole's falling off, and we'd sell them a pair of boots. And somebody would come in with 3-pin bindings. They don't want to give up their skis, so we'd sell them a pair of bindings. You know, I definitely probably almost quadrupled my binding order this year, just to make sure we had enough on hand, because we ran out at several points last year. Unfortunately, I was able to find bindings here and there. But the consumer coming in with old gear was definitely That was a big piece of our retail this year, helping them get into something that was better.
Right. Charlie, is this a new question, or did your hand not go down?
No, you answered my question. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Great. What about going back to our retailers and really anybody else on the call? Whoever's not muted, please mute that. Have you guys considered setting up a swap or a consignment program? Is that something that makes any sense, or is that a can of worms you just don't want to get to? Now, I'll throw that to Marcy or Nick or anyone else on the call who maybe has considered that.
We normally work really well with our local ski club that does a swap. Obviously, this year was a little bit challenging. They did get up creative and did an outdoor oriented at the beer gardens at one of our breweries. So they did do an outdoor swap in September. So it was able to go off. It was able to fly. I'm not sure what this year looks like. We personally don't hold one in the shop, but we'll take random rental skis or random stuff and throw it in somebody else's swap, definitely.
Right.
But the repair question that you guys were just talking about, that was a huge part of our business last year, and unbelievable amount of just new customers that would bring in a ski and a boot and not knowing that the two systems didn't match and had tried to ski on them or whatever. And so we were always repairing. You're like, oh yeah, you totally need a different binding. Let's just get this going for you. Or, you know, you totally don't need to be skiing on those skis because they're trash. Let's get you into a different ski. Our ski coaches that work for our junior programs also work in the store here. They spent every day they would come in and sew zippers back into boots, or they would re-laminate skis for a racer, or they would be splinting poles so they could go ski that afternoon. It was constant and never seen before.
Interesting. What will happen, you know, to Andy's point, he's seeing a greater interest in roller skis. We know that the bike inventory right now is really low. We're seeing roller, you know, inline skates from every company. Their sales are through the roof. What will happen if we get to a situation next year where we run out of product? What will happen if some of our ski shops that sold their rental fleet doesn't get a complete rental fleet back this year or doesn't get one at all? And how will that affect participation? I'm going to throw this at Nate just because you're there. And it's a, you know, I mean, this is that next question, you know, and I know other industries have experienced this and they've lost some people to something else because they can participate. Have you given that any thought, Nate, up at Great Glen in New Hampshire?
About 6 years ago, KISSA praised us for flipping our fleet strategy.
Yes, we did.
It's your fault. No, we sell our bikes, skis, and kayaks every year if we can, straight through. Get the cash, don't have to store it, get the best stuff in stock. Robert just said, if I have a preseason, it's coming. So that's it. I'm getting it. And I hope so, because I sold everything. Sold all my bikes. They're not here yet. Sold my skis. We'll see if I was too greedy. I don't. My plan, Reese, is to cross my fingers, like Nick said.
Right. And I guess that's it. Have you heard about your bikes? Are they coming?
I touch base with them weekly just to let them know I'm still on the radar. And I got a soft yes.
I know this is a question that cannot be answered. It is that horrible what if, and then obviously
we'll move to roller ski clinics.
There you go.
Here, that's trending.
Going back to Robert, can you give us a thought? So you mentioned Q1 of 22 you should be able to deliver again. What does that next year look? So that preseason for 22-23, where do you think, like, when will this supply demand start to normalize, do you think?
Oof. what you can expect. No, when I'm already placing some orders for fall winter 22 delivery. I need to engage some quantities now, totally in the dark. Normally we start in November, and then we have some good visibility in March. You should expect that we will ask for visibility earlier than that. So some of our competitors are the January 15 or February 15 deadline this past winter. We had the March 1. You can expect from all of us that day to move upward, so earlier. We are working all levels to produce, like I say, 24/7. For 21, for sure, to fulfill what we have in the book, but also to prepare Q1 and also for winter 22. The question we have been starting to brainstorm now, that trend, how long will it last? And you know, we need to put some numbers down already forecasting for 22. I am not forecasting any increase in 22 at this point. I don't know. Guys, tell me, most of you already double, triple, or quadruple your pre-season. Do you expect to again quadruple next year? If you tell me no, then I review my forecast. But I'm thinking that we will be flat. That we will be flat at a very high level, obviously. And again, there is, we have discussed many times, you know, when I came to the US 15 years ago, somebody told me the market in 1983 was 750,000 pair of Nordic ski sold a year, 750,000. The last 10 years, we were around 100,000. No, good snow year, 110, bad snow year, 90. So what's happening this year, I'm guessing, maybe we are back to 120, 130, 140, 140,000 maybe. Maybe that's the new normal. And I have no problem with that. I don't think we'll go up over 300,000, but so for 22, I'm planning to be flat. Again, like I said, at a very high level. If you guys see something different, you know, reach out to Riz in the fall and say, guys, it's going to be crazy again, like, you know, crazy high.
Yes.
Right, right. And I know that no one knows the answer. So going back to strategies that our ski shops can do to our ski shops and ski areas can do to manage the expectations. I believe someone, and I'm not sure who it is, and I don't know if they're on this call, but there's a ski shop that will sell their rental gear, will sell their rental gear on the spot at any point during the year, but you can't get it until after March 1. Nate, is that you guys? Is that how you do it? I mean, is that a way to manage that that customer's expectation? Okay, I can't buy anything new, but so I'm renting right now. Would that ease that person? Okay, buy it right now. You can't take it with you, but you've got free rentals for the rest of the year. And then, you know, after whatever the date is, you take it home. Is that how your program works, Nate? I didn't hear from the survey we did of ski areas, I didn't hear a lot of people say they were out of rental gear too often. So that might be a way to use that rental gear a little more until March. I don't know if that's a strategy that works. I'm just trying to think if anyone has any strategies, please share them. That would be interesting to hear.
It is a bit tricky, Reese. You would definitely want to think about your system on how you're going to do that. And when they expect to pick it up, be very clear. You know, there is breakage in rental programs. You've already sold something to somebody, then someone breaks it while they're renting it. And then these guys come to pick up their stuff and I can't reorder. So that's tricky. But it is quite nice to have had someone pay for their skis. Then you continue to rent it over and over again on their dime for the rest of the month.
Right. Right. Roger asked a question about shipping and, you know, how Roger, do you want to ask that question? Phrase that how you want it phrased.
Yeah. Well, what everybody's saying, there's a lot of very expensive shipping, and with the high demand, I know I've seen some skis $800-$900 online. I'm wondering if, you know, since we're all insiders, we haven't discussed this, the prices for consumers, if those are going to be sky high at retail, at wholesale, whatever.
I think what we're seeing is there's no need to discount. Does anyone have anything? I don't think anyone's jacking prices. At least I haven't heard that. Hopefully that's not happening. Any other questions? We're at 10 past four, so we can certainly entertain some questions if there are any. Okay, perhaps not. Well, I think this was a really, really interesting discussion. I hope that you all, as retailers, as part of your business, have a plan for how you're going to attack this coming year with respect to product availability. Certainly we've heard, and I think we all knew anyway, since you all talked to your reps, that they're not accepting, many companies are not accepting orders anymore through Q1 of next year. So what you've ordered is what you've got.
I'll take orders.
Andrew will take orders. So that's kind of an interesting scenario and really also unprecedented, as Robert alluded to. I think this is a discussion that we'll probably have again, and we do intend from the Kissa perspective to run these Zoom calls probably monthly as we go into the summer, hitting a variety of different subjects as we go. But if there's no other questions, I'd like to remind you that the silent auction is open until 5 o'clock today. So please bid often and high. We'd like to jack that number up a little more. And thank you all for attending and spending 3 days. I know it's a busy time, and hopefully you can all now go on vacation. Enjoy some spring weather and not the snow that we're getting here tonight. And without that, thank you very much. Thank you to our presenters today. It was great to hear from directly from you guys, and look forward to seeing you guys this summer. Thank you.
Thank you, Reese.
Ciao.